Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to United Way's 26 at 6. Tonight we'll be talking about family support, and our first guest in the studio this evening is Allie Kibler Campbell from the Bering County Council for Children. Welcome, Allie.
Hi, thanks.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, Allie, introduce yourself. Talk about who you are and kind of how did you end up in this kind of work?
Okay, well, so my job title over at the CAC is the Prevention and Outreach Specialist, and so that means that I'm going to be trying to prevent child abuse in Bering County. I am the newest member over there, and I just started in April, okay. And it's a brand new position, so I've been kind of working to develop the whole position and get our foot in the door at schools and kind of expand our prevention services. I definitely had a bit of an unconventional and twisty path to getting there. I've always had a passion for advocating for people or things that can't necessarily advocate for themselves. So that kind of led me towards the direction of working with children and then also working with animals. So directly before with this job, I kind of was more in the animal field. Okay. And I was a zookeeper.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
You know, I always ask our guests kind of what their path is. And it's usually fairly straight.
Right.
This is interesting. Yeah. Where were you a zookeeper?
In South Bend, at Pottawatomie Zoo.
Okay.
And I was the keeper for all the primates there, so I took care of all the monkeys and the apes. And it was a very fun and interesting job, but my priorities kind of changed once I had children.
Okay.
And I started seeing the value in working with children more. And in my attempt to kind of move closer to home, this is where I'm from. I've grown up in the area.
Okay.
I started looking for another job that also fit my interests. And since I like advocating, I looked for things that were helpful to children and would benefit children. Because also in my past, I've done a lot of work as an assistant teacher and a paraprofessional. I've worked in the migrant school settings and a lot of work in the Benton Harbor School District. So it kind of led me to find this job. And because my job at the zoo included a lot of outreach programs and educational, so I was kind of used to talking to a lot of people with a lot of age ranges, kind of thinking on my feet because you're constantly talking to the public. And so that kind of prepared me well, I think, for the job that I have now.
Well, that's awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah.
That is really a great story. For the listeners out there that don't really know what the work is of the Bering County Council for Children, and you also used an acronym of CAC.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about the work and what it is and what is CAC?
So first of all, the CAC is the Children's Advocacy Center.
Okay.
And the work that we do in kind of one sentence, short layman's terms, is that we aid in the investigation, the recovery, and the prevention of child sexual abuse in Southwest Michigan.
Okay. So you talked about that your position is fairly new and you're creating it, but it's really about trying to create awareness in the schools?
Yes. So our prevention program kind of has two tiers to it. And the first one that we have been doing for a long time before I even started was the prevention education that we provide to adults.
Okay.
Adults who work in a child setting. So adults who work with kids in some sort of capacity.
Like child care centers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Teachers, schools, coaches, anything.
Okay.
Anything like that. And so they've been doing that since about 2009. And then they saw the need to expand and start providing education for children about abuse prevention.
Directly to the child.
Directly
okay.
to the child. And so that's really where this position kind of grew out of. And it's most of my job will be actually in the schools talking to kids about abuse prevention and what they can do to kind of help themselves.
So the program for adults, I think, is called Stewards of Children.
Stewards of Children, yeah.
Okay. And that's been going on for several years.
Yes.
And anybody can go through that program.
Yes. Anybody who's interested can go through a Stewards of Children training. We generally have about 20 participants that show up. That's kind of the number that we're targeted for. But yes, anybody can do those trainings.
And then the school program, is that pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, what age?
So we have a curriculum called Play It Safe, and it was developed out of the Women's Center of Tarrant County, Texas. It's been around since the 80s. I think over 1.5 million children have participated in this training. So it's been around. It's also undergone some research, and it's evidence-based research that has shown that it is effective in aiding children in kind of understanding more about sexual abuse prevention. And it also shows that they do retain the knowledge from this curriculum. So we chose this curriculum, and we also chose it because it's pre-K through 12. So it's age appropriate, and there's one lesson per grade level.
And we'll come back to talking about that in just a second. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. And I am speaking with Allie Kibler-Campbell from the Bering County Council for Children. And tonight's show is focused on family support. So just before that, we were talking about the school-based program. And you were talking about just what the kind of the goals of that program are. So what else do you want to say about that program?
Well, so like I kind of said, the program is one lesson per grade level, and the goal is to start when children are very young with prevention education, because it's something that we don't really see a lot of, people talking to their kids about sexual abuse prevention starting at a young age. But if you start in an age-appropriate manner and start while they're really young with very simple concepts, you can build on those concepts. And so our goal is to be in the schools year after year, and as the children are growing through the school systems, they're receiving this training over and over and over again, and as they grow developmentally, so do the lessons and the topics that we cover. And so they're getting the repeated exposure to this education in the hopes that they can help learn to protect themselves or learn resources of where they can go if they need help.
So you mentioned something about simple concepts. Could you give us an example of, say, a kindergartner? What are you going to say to a kindergartner?
Yeah, so we start with just a few kind of focused concepts because we understand that, you know, the attention span really isn't there. So we want to start with just a couple simple things. First of all, is we help them identify safe adults in their lives. So people who they can go to, who they can trust, who they can talk to if something happens to them. We also teach them a three-step safety rule, which is say no, get away if you can, and then tell one of those trusted adults. And then we also teach them about the fact that parts of your body are private and that those body parts are parts that would be covered by a swimsuit and that those parts belong to you and no one should be looking at, touching, or taking a picture of those private parts of their bodies.
So, and I'm assuming that the concepts grow on that based on the age.
Correct.
And you're currently in schools, but you want to expand to more schools.
Yeah. So this is what we're calling our pilot year. And it's just me doing the prevention. So there is kind of a time limit on to how many lessons I can give in a day. And so because of that, we've capped it to about 4 or 5 school districts. Okay. And right now we do have 4 or 5 school districts that have been interested in the program that we're talking to and actually scheduling lessons with right now. Our eventual goal would be in 5 years to be in every school district in the county and providing these lessons annually.
That's awesome. So there are some startling statistics, and we found some of them on the Bering County Council for Children website. 1 in 10 children in the U.S. will experience child abuse before the age of 18. 90% of offenders are known to the child. Are there other statistics that listeners should be aware of?
So actually that 1 in 10, while it is startling, that is down from what it has been in the past. And so what we're really accrediting that to is that prevention education does work. And that's why we feel like this is so important. And it's such a important thing for us to get going in our own communities because it does work nationally. These are the numbers nationally. And so we want to kind of replicate that within our own area. And then of that 90%, 30% of those are direct family members. Wow. So it's really not the stranger danger that everyone is afraid of. A lot of this abuse comes from people that you know.
So if you needed to say one thing to a family or a child, what would you leave them with tonight?
The first thing is it's never too late to tell. That's one thing that we always tell kids and we tell adults. We tell people to trust their gut. If something feels wrong, go with it. And then A lot of people are afraid that they're going to offend somebody by saying something. Don't. It's always just better to speak up for the child. If you have the choice between speaking up for a child who needs your help or offending another adult, you should always choose that child because they're the ones that need you the most. And then, you know, if you do see something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you should make that call to centralized intake and, you know, report child abuse when you see it.
Thank you. This is a tough topic, but we're going to continue talking about this in our next segment. So we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jamie Rosso, who's the executive director of the Barron County Council for Children. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined by Jamie Rosso, Executive Director of Barron County Council for Children, the organization that we were talking to a little bit earlier with Allie. We're talking about family support, but we're specifically going to talk about the intervention and therapy side of the organization. So in our first segment, we talked about prevention and protecting children from sexual abuse. And I want to talk a little bit about the intervention and therapy of the work that happens at Barron County Council for Children.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Our intervention portion is what we call our forensic interviews. And these are conducted by highly trained staff that know how to ask age-appropriate, developmentally appropriate questions to kids. And typically the kids we interview are age 3 to 18. We also will interview developmentally disabled adults. And what we do if there are any allegations of abuse or concern for a child's safety, children are referred to our organization for this forensic interview. And the idea behind this is to have the child come in and tell their story one time, not to continually have to talk to other professionals that need the same information. So when we conduct the interview, we have our multidisciplinary team there, which is consists of law enforcement, child protective services, someone from the Barron County Prosecutor's Office, and we also have, occasionally, we will have our nurses. We work with Lakeland Sexual Assault Nurse Examiners, and for the medical component, so they can observe this interview as well. And we have a facility that's equipped with the two-way mirrors so that the children sit on one side with the forensic interviewer, just the two of them, and the rest of the team sits on the other side. And they're able to observe and hear the interview, and they're also able to ask the interviewer questions so that if they need clarification, they can have that all done in that one interview. And hopefully then the child gets to leave that interview and not have to talk about it again unless they choose to in a therapy situation.
So let's step back for a second. How long has the service or organization been in existence?
So the Barron County Council for Children started in the 70s as a prevention organization. The what is our Children's Advocacy Center, which is the treatment side of it, started around 2002.
Okay. And how did you get involved with this work?
My route isn't as different as
I was going to say,
as cool as Allie's. But,
yeah, you didn't go by route of zoo.
No, I did not. I grew up in the area and then moved to Chicago after my undergraduate degree, and lived there for about 15 years. Got my master's degree there in health systems management, and then my husband and I moved back to the area when our oldest was starting kindergarten because we wanted to be by grandparents. And now my oldest is just—I just dropped him off at college.
I was gonna say, yeah.
So that'll get me crying over anything.
Okay, don't talk about
it. No, I won't. But we moved back to the area, and I was a stay-at-home mom at the time after having worked for many years, and decided I just wanted to get involved on a volunteer basis. And I was actually on the board of directors for this organization for about 3 years before becoming the executive director.
And I remember those days.
Yes.
Yes.
Long ago.
Yes. You know, we in some programs, we're excited about the numbers that we serve. This one isn't that we're excited about the numbers that we serve, but you do have a number. How many people, how many kids, how many adults are we seeing?
We see annually about 500 kids.
Wow. That's a lot.
It is. Most of them are Barron County kids. We do see some kids from Cass and Van Buren as well. Our numbers have consistently grown. In 2002, we saw about 67 kids. What we also look at it is we think the increase in numbers is a good thing because, as you mentioned before, 1 in 10 kids are sexually abused before the age of 18. So we know that even the 500 we see are just the tip of the iceberg. So we look at the ones that get to us as fortunate to be able to receive our services. They were courageous enough to tell. They had someone in their life that believed them, reported it, and it was investigated. And then they're able to come to us for that investigative part of it and then hopefully be referred on and participate in therapeutic services.
So we talked a little bit about what Allie does. What are some of the other roles that staff have at the center?
So we have a total of 9 staff members right now. So Allie and myself, and then we also have 2 that are our forensic interviewers. We also have 1 person that is a consultant forensic interviewer who was the one that kind of started the whole organization and does some training. And then we have the therapeutic staff, which we have 2 full-time therapists that provide the intervention therapy for the kids. And then lastly, we have a front desk administrative person who keeps us all together and running. And then we have 2 family advocates who their responsibility is to make sure these interviews are set up and that the whole team is there and who we need is there. But they're also the contact for the family on an ongoing basis. They're the point of contact if they ever have questions on the investigation, what's going on, or of services. And we want to make it as easy as possible on the family to receive services and to be able to know what's going on with their investigation so they can use our family advocates as that point of contact.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and we're talking with Jamie Rosso from the Barron County Council for Children. We're talking about what your staff does. Talk a little bit about, you mentioned a couple of things that I think are intriguing about your location. You have an observation room, you have a medical room. Talk about some of the rooms that you have that kids or adults will go through or participate in. I don't know what to call it, but how the building is set up and why it's a good setup for what you do.
So the key to our building is that it's child friendly. Prior to having a children's advocacy center, children would be interviewed at a police station or maybe, you know, at the Department of Health and Human Services, and or maybe oftentimes in their own home when potentially the perpetrator is within the home. We want our facility to be child friendly. You come in, there's a big play area, it's bright colors, it's really friendly. We did an expansion a few years ago that doubled the size of our building due to the increase in kids we see. For our interview rooms, we have 2 of those. We have what we call the kids room, or typically kids 10 and under, and then our teen room. They're set up the same with the video cameras to DVD record, and it's just more smaller furniture in the smaller room. And then we added on 2 therapy rooms. We went from 1 to 3 therapy rooms, which is key because not only do we provide therapy to the child victim, but we also can provide services to what we call any non-offending family members. So if there are siblings in the home that weren't abused, but maybe witnessed it, mom or dad, or obviously want to learn what to expect from an abused child, and also possibly how to process any feelings of guilt or questions they have. So we are able to not only see the child, but if mom is receiving therapy as well, we can see them at the same time since we have 2 therapists. With the expansion, we added a medical exam room because we do a lot of medical exams for kids. And Lakeland sexual assault nurse examiners come on site to do these with clinic hours, which was a huge addition for us because now the families don't have to be referred on to the emergency room or through the hospital. They can just come back and are already familiar with our staff. And then the other cool thing we added was a mock courtroom because we do court prep with kids. Our therapists will do some court prep, and obviously the prosecutors will do court prep. And we had a replica of one of the Barron County courtrooms. Mark McCrone, who's a local woodworker, generously donated his time to build this, and it's gorgeous. But it's really cool so the kids can come in and sit. You know, they can sit where they're going to sit, maybe sit in the judge's chair.
That's awesome.
They'll occasionally bring in Mr. Weber, who's our canine advocate through the court systems. So he's often with them when they testify. So they're, you know, kids do have to testify if it goes to court. So this makes it a little less stressful and kind of eases their mind on the process.
So the service is free?
The services are free.
So how do you fund the work that you do?
So as I said, all services are free. We provide therapy to adult survivors of child sexual abuse. And our key is to make sure these services are free to the family so that they don't have to worry about paying for therapy. Most of our funding is federal funding that comes through the Victims of Crime Act. So that's when people commit crimes and you see that they have fees and penalties to pay. That money goes into a fund that is used to treat victims of crime. And then we also have county funding for some of our forensic interviews, state funding, and then United Way funding, which has been really critical to us over the years.
So as we wrap up this segment in tonight's show, why is this work so important to you?
I think, you know, like Allie mentioned, you kind of change your focus after having kids and where, you know, what's important. And I think just being on the board, I had realized how critical these services are. I, you know, was shocked with the number of kids that were seen there annually. And so we knew that we're not identifying all of these kids. So I just think, you know, we know that kids that receive treatment do well, they go through therapy and they are very resilient and do awesome and can run, you know, lead really successful lives.
You do awesome work there. It's an incredible program. I am glad that United Way is a partner with your organization and you and Allie and the rest of the staff there. I want to thank you, Jamie, from Berrien County Council for Children, for stopping in tonight. And when we come back, we'll be welcoming Courtney Davis from the Berrien County Health Department to continue our conversation on family support. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to tonight's show focused on family support. I'm joined in the WSJM studio this evening by Courtney Davis of the Berrien County Health Department. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself a little? Tell us kind of your background. How did you get to where you are today? You don't have to go back to like birth, but you know, okay, your schooling and some of the education that got you into this work.
Absolutely. So I'm the Deputy Health Officer at the Berrien County Health Department. And I'm a Michigan native. I grew up in the Berrien County area, so not too far north of here. Went to school there and did my undergrad at University of Michigan.
So go blue,
yeah, definitely. And after undergrad, I really wasn't sure. I didn't know what public health was, hadn't worked for a public health department. Ended up working for Head Start.
Okay.
And through my experiences with Head Start, really saw how much work and service you could do in connecting to families and connecting to community. But my passion was really in the prevention side. So seeing some of these things in our families of how could we prevent that? How could we make our lives healthier? I really started digging into what does that look like for a career and found the public health world. So I ended up working for the Kalamazoo County Public Health Department. And through that went back to U of M, go blue again, and got my master's in public health. And focus that on health management and policy.
Okay.
And so doing community health planning work, looking at our systems and environments and how we can make those healthier for our population, for our communities. And through that, about just over a year ago, I joined the Berrien County Health Department in July and have really just loved getting to know the community. My husband and I relocated to Berrien.
Very good.
We have 5 acres and a dog, and we love the area. We love the beaches, and the community's been wonderful. And we're just really excited to get involved. There's a lot of work going on about preventing and promoting health in our community, and especially on that systems policy level. And so that's really exciting, and I'm excited to be here to be a part of that.
Well, that's great. You mentioned the words public health.
Yes.
What is public health? I know you work for the health department, so that in case someone's listening that doesn't know the difference, what or is there a difference?
Yeah, absolutely. So public health, a lot of times when we hear health, we think health care, so personal health. where public health is really focused on the larger community. So our entire population, so when I'm saying Berrien County, I'm thinking of all 154,000 plus residents.
Okay.
That is our population. So the role of the health department is really to protect the health of their communities, whether that be counties, cities, or neighborhoods, and work to prevent poor health outcomes that prevent or impact our residents. So at the Berrien County Health Department, we are there working to prevent disease, protect health, and really promote an optimal quality of life for all. And so we do that through programs and services and other work that address policy and system changes. And we really just try to create a Berrien County along with a lot of partners. There's a lot of partners in the work of public health to improve our health outcomes and eliminate health inequities.
So you said something about promoting quality of life. And this show tonight is focused on family support.
Yes.
And I know one of the programs because it is a United Way funded program. In fact, I think if you look back at the history, United Way was one of its first primary funding sources.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It's been a long partnership. And that's the Nurse Family Partnership Program. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and how is it supporting families? And then we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how many clients and things like that. But what is NFP, Nurse Family Partnership Program?
Nurse Family Partnership is an evidence-based program. So it has been around since the 1970s overall. The Berrien County Nurse Family Partnership Program is actually the oldest in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
And so years ago, almost 20 years ago, there was a group at the health department that just saw that we had low birth outcomes and that there were some disparities in those outcomes in lower income areas and at-risk populations in our community, and so really wanted to do something about that. So
hold that thought.
Yes.
We'll come back and finish that thought. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. And we are speaking with Courtney Davis of the Berrien County Health Department. And we're talking about family support. Right now, we're talking about a very specific program that's actually a partner with United Way. It's the Nurse Family Partnership Program. So I want to pick up where I interrupted you just a second ago.
Absolutely. So Nurse Family Partnership, I was saying it was the oldest in the county, and it's really to help our mothers and new babies and to increase our birth and health outcomes. So what it is it's a program for first-time moms, and it is a relationship that is built between a registered nurse and those first-time moms when they start early in their pregnancy, so before 28 weeks of pregnancy, so that first and second trimester. And it's in-home visitation, so this registered nurse builds relationship with mom, comes into the home 2 times a month at some point right after delivery, is there weekly to kind of be that support system and that resource connection for mom and for family. So it's a really great program. It's built on providing services and support and just really helping families navigate all of our systems.
So how does one become eligible for that program?
Absolutely. So one, being pregnant.
Sure.
and it's really for first-time pregnancies.
Okay.
There is an income eligibility, so basically Medicaid-eligible women. Being a Berrien County resident,
okay,
we do serve the whole county, and we have 4 nurses who travel countywide. And being willing to enter into a relationship with a nurse who will be a part of your life for about 2.5 years. So it's a long-term relationship. And just being open to learning new things and connecting to resources. And that is pretty much what the requirement is for being in the program.
So right now, how many moms,
yep,
are on your caseload?
So right now we have about 80 moms on our caseload. And that's primarily because we are down one nurse right
okay,
now, so we have
based
a vacancy.
On, sure,
yep.
Sure.
But throughout the year, we serve anywhere from 100 to 120 moms. The reason that number fluctuates is babies get close to age 2 and they graduate
and, they, sure,
and move on from our program, and we do a continual enrollment. We're always bringing on new moms and trying to serve more, but about 100 moms
okay
a year.
And you talked about that they learn new things and they have access to resources. What might be some of those things that a mom would be taught with that nurse?
Yeah. So, you know, with first time pregnancies and all pregnancy, there's always questions and new things you're learning. So early on, you might be learning more about childbirth and what that is and about early prenatal care. And, you know, when you're going to the doctor and being given more information, now you have a nurse coming in your home to kind of help dissect some of that, of what's going on. Healthy eating in pregnancy. Once you're delivering, what is, you know, breastfeeding support, safety and education around safe sleep for your baby, when to introduce new foods. And then early literacy is a big focus as well.
And do you encourage, or I think we saw on the website that you do encourage fathers to participate.
Yeah.
How, what would their role be in this?
Absolutely. So this program is definitely driven by women and first-time moms. But as long as mom wants other people to be involved, we often have fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever's in that home and going to be a part of the child's life can participate in the learning modules, special events as they happen. And then we have other programs in the department that sometimes can be wraparound services for fathers too.
So in we're going to take a break here in a moment and go to our final segment tonight. But in a quick moment, why is this program so vital to families in Berrien County?
Yeah, I mean, this program is really serving our families in a preventative manner that really it reduces and prevents infant mortality and keeps our babies healthy, good birth weights, and moms just really successful in their health outcomes.
Well, it's great information. It is an awesome program. Courtney said something about 20 years, and I can attest to that because I've been with United Way for 20 years, and I remember when that program first started. We're going to have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Courtney Davis on family support, and we'll also be welcoming Tanya Tusick, a mom, and part of one of the programs that the Berrien County Health Department has. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to tonight's show focused on family support. I'm talking with Courtney Davis of the Berrien County Health Department, and I'm really excited to welcome Tanya Tusick, who's here to share her own story with us on the impact of another great program through the Berrien County Health Department. First, let's circle back with Courtney. We talked about the Nurse Family Partnership Program in the last segment. We're going to talk about another program. It's another acronym, but we're going to tell you what that means. We're going to talk about the Triple P program. Courtney, what does Triple P stand for and what does it do?
All right. So Triple P is Positive Parenting Program. And the Positive Parenting Program provides education and support to parents and caregivers, so anyone in a child's life, to enhance and build knowledge, skills, and confidence in those parenting skills. So helping to reduce behavior problems, building safe and engaging environments, and creating spaces for positive learning for your kids.
So you mentioned a little bit about who you serve. It's the parent mm-hmm. that has children.
Yes.
Are you serving just the parent? Are you having some interaction with both the child and the parent?
So it's primarily the parents. And I will definitely add in parents and caregivers. We often work with foster parents, grandparents. Again, if there's an aunt or uncle, really integral in a child's life. So
that primary adult.
Yes,
okay.
That's a great way. Yeah. Primary adult for sure. And I'm sorry, what was your second question in that?
Just if you're working with parents
and kids right.
if indirectly,
yeah,
I know it's
so
benefiting the kids, but
often there's different levels of the positive parenting program interventions. It's not a cookie cutter thing. It's very much based around what is the need of that family and that parent, and we tailor that to their needs. And so often there are aspects of observation where we'll see parents interact with their kids and then can kind of give some feedback and work with them that way. But that would be the involvement of the children in the program.
So the impact of this program, and we're going to talk to Tanya in a moment, so we're going to hear her story about the impact. But from the organization side and what we do in our communities, mm-hmm. why is this so important? Why is this program so significant?
Yeah, so the Triple P program really focuses on addressing five key principles, and it builds parental and family resiliency, and that's a really huge factor in families' lives. So it's building that safe and engaging environment. It's positive learning for parents and their children. It's having the assertive discipline, so keeping our children safe and doing what we want them to do. It's realistic expectations, so knowing developmentally where your child should be so that you have those good expectations sure. too. And then there's a big piece of parental self-care. You're caring for your child, but your self-care is important too, and so working that into your mindset of parenting.
Okay. Well, let's switch over and talk to Tanya. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell me, so you are a mom with a child, one
yes.
child?
One child. She is going on 9 years old. And when I think about the fact that she'll be a teenager before too long, one is more than enough for okay. me right now.
So you participate in the Triple P program,
yes.
or did?
Yes. I actually participated in the birth to age 12 and was so excited at the response that we got that I went back and took the teenager program.
Excellent. Okay. So when did you realize or know that you needed some support like this from the program, from Triple P?
About the time that we really got into homework in second grade. Homework would hit and we would start having meltdowns in the evening. And it just became clear that the methods that I was using to encourage my daughter to do what I wanted her to do in a timely and calm manner were no longer working. When they're younger, it's really easy to pick them up, put them in their bedroom, shut the door and say, hey, 5 minutes for both of us. Second graders, not so much. So I started researching, Googling, kind of trying to figure out what was in the area and came upon this thing called Triple P at the health department.
Okay.
Called, and it sounded like it fit exactly what I was looking for, and I decided to give that a try.
So what was there a specific eligibility requirement to have you become part of that program?
I was worried about that. I thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to qualify, but turns out being a parent was the only qualification, and I fit that bill.
Okay.
And they wanted you to come basically with a few things that you were struggling with and kind of what your goal was in being there.
We'll come back after this break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. And we're talking about family support. We've been talking with Courtney Davis of the Barron County Health Department. And right now we're talking with Tanya Tusick, who is a parent that has a child that has gone through the Triple P program, Positive Parenting Program. And we're just talking about, what were the signs of needing the program and the support. What were some of the strategies that the program provided you in dealing with your daughter with the homework and some of the other situations?
Right. So I actually love that they give you in class, they actually give you this giant textbook, and there's actually plenty of work to be done. You can fill out, you know, different ideas and kind of keep a log of what's going on at home. But one of the things that Triple P really promotes is coming up with a checklist or just kind of a consequence list of things that you'd like your child to do or accomplish, and then what's going to happen if those expectations aren't met. And for us, that's worked out really well. So it's not saying, you know, your kid's a second grader, this is what they should be doing, and here's what you should do, but basically working with me as a parent to say, what are your expectations? How do you want to accomplish them? And maybe your child is driven a little bit differently than someone else's.
How did your daughter take to this?
She hated it. I went to two classes. I came home and she informed me that I was not allowed to go to any more because she did not like them.
So how did you work through that?
Basically reinforced to me that I was on the right track, and that I needed to pay attention to what I was learning and work through this with her, but trying to be patient with her, that we were both having a learning curve and that, you know, the outcome was going to be beneficial to both of us.
So would you say that this program changed your life?
Definitely.
What about your daughters?
Definitely.
What were some of the changes that you saw?
So for one, I'm calmer. Just in dealing with her, I am a calmer person. I can look at her and I can be like, okay, you're about to melt down, but I know what to do now. That was a huge one for me. I've had other friends say that they've noticed she's less anxious, because one of the things that gets overlooked in dealing with kids is they don't always know how you're going to respond to them. So she might decide to act up. She has no idea what to expect from me. Now she does. We have basically a plan in place to deal with any of the major issues that we were having. And it was even funny to notice my husband coming on board and saying, hey, that class that I thought was kind of crazy sounding, that must be working. So what are you learning?
How old is your daughter now?
She's 8.
Okay.
She's going to be 9 in October.
So why do you think this program is so important for people to be aware of?
I think, honestly, this should be a packet of information that goes home from the hospital with your child. For me, this was kind of the missing link. There's always going to be a grandma, an aunt, somebody that's like, oh, no, this is how you should raise your child. And you can look back on your own experiences as a child and say, here's the things my parents did or didn't do that I like or didn't like. But you can't always figure out how to do that on your own in a meaningful way. And for me, this was just the tool that says, you know, you are a good parent. You may need to do things a little bit differently. But if you want to be a calm, reasonable person and have a child, that can be accomplished.
You mentioned something about your husband kind of coming along and asking, you know, if this was working.
Yes.
How did he participate with all of this?
So he kind of thought it was a crazy idea at first. You know, I do a lot of research. I come up with some ideas sometimes. I'm like, hey, we need to try this out and see if it works. And he thought that this was going to be one of those. But after 2 or 3 classes, he noticed that, you know, our child was coming to both of us and actually talking to us after school or saying, hey, I've got this problem. Or just the fact that she was less anxious in dealing with us. And then he'd come to me and start saying, so that book, do you still have that book? Did you get to keep that book? And it was actually fun and bonding for all of us to be able to go through different things and say, hey, this is what I learned. Here's what we're trying to do. And all of us actually be on the same page.
Well, and parenting is a team thing.
It's supposed to be, yes.
So I want to applaud you for taking the steps to find support for you and your daughter and recognizing that that was something that you needed. You also participated in Parents as Teachers program.
Yes.
Through the Barry and Risa. You participated in the Dolly Parton Imagination.
Yes.
Library. So you found a lot of resources.
Yes.
Out there, and that is awesome. I want to thank you for being here tonight and
thank
telling
you.
Your story. Good luck for
thank
the future, because she'll be a teenager in no time. But I also want to thank Courtney Davis for sitting in with us tonight and talking about the programming at the Barron County Health Department. You've been listening to United Way's 26 at 6. You can hear all of our shows by visiting UWSM.org. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. Thanks for joining the fight.
The United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.